Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Hi, everybody. It's Diane here with a great episode for you today. I actually have this really cool woman who I have been introduced to. Her name is Dr. Joanne Lefive Connolly. Now, she goes by Dr. Joanne, and she lives in St. Augustine, Florida, not far from me, actually very close to where my retreat is every year. But she's originally from Montreal, so you will hear her amazing French accent when she speaks. It's so sweet. But Dr. Joanne is a veterinarian, and she uses intuitive medicine as a veterinarian with the animals and with their humans. How cool is that, right? Like, I cannot wait. I have so many questions for her. I don't know how long this episode's going to go. She helps families and their pets deal with end of life and transitions and making decisions about medical things, all of the really hard things. Like, I can't even imagine having to think about those kinds of things with my dog, even though I know I'm going to have to. So I'm hoping that I'll learn some things from Dr. Joanne today too. She is very devoted to helping her animals and the people. Like, I just love this about her. But I also love the fact that she uses her intuition, because I think that is a huge, amazing combination and way underutilized in the animal veterinarian type world. She also has written a book, Animal Teaching from Haley's Angels. She's going to tell us about that one too. So I'd like to welcome on to the show our very first intuitive veterinarian ever on the Someone Gets Me podcast. Welcome, Dr. Joanne.
Thank you so much, Diane, for having me. I'm very honored to be the first intuitive vegan veterinarian. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Oh, this is going to be so fun, because, you know, here at Someone Gets Me, it's all about people who live their visions, the visionary leaders living their visions and inspiring others with hope and amazement, and reminding us all that we're not alone, and some of our quirky weirdness is in common, and we all have our interesting ways to be it. So I think you have so much depth to offer the show. And where I'd like to start a little bit is, tell us a little bit of the story, how you became a veterinarian, and, you know, how did you get to this place? It's very fascinating.
I've always loved animals. I was a middle child, and I had a lot of time on my hand. I would just be outside, play with the ants, and let the earthworms crawl on me. And I've always had this fascination about nature, because I still do. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing about this planet Earth is nature, the creation of every insect. They're so different, and the unicity in all creation. So I'm still fascinated by it. So being a veterinarian was definitely my calling, and I really could not have done anything else. You know, my skills really are with the animals, and so I'm still really passionate about it today. We had a dog named Haley, and she turned 14 years of age and needed help go to heaven. So luckily, I was able to help her pass at home. I brought the medications home, and it was very, very sad. I was devastated, but she was suffering, and so we helped her. But then she put me to work, and that's when my life really shifted. People started calling me, and a friend of a friend needed help with their dog going to heaven at home. And I really felt like Haley was pushing me from the other side. Like, I felt like her spirit was there saying, hey, come on, we need you to do this. And I was very afraid. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. But I had to surrender, because all the signs were there. You know, you try to brush off a sign, and then another synchronicity happens, and it was just like from every angle. And I didn't know anything about this back then. I just realized that, okay, this is going to drive me crazy. So let me try and see what happens. And I just asked Haley to please help me make this work, so I can bring comfort and healing to the families and help the pets pass peacefully at home. Now, fast forward 12 years later, I've helped over 10,000 animals pass at home, comforted their families. I've learned so much from them that I had to write a book to share those amazing teachings of animals. They have been the best teachers. And what I've learned is not something I had learned in vet school. So many wonderful things that I had to share, because animals just make our lives so much better, so we can grow from them tremendously.
Oh, that's amazing. So you are, I guess, out in the community a lot where you are in St. Augustine, helping animals there. Is that how you do it? You go to the people's homes wherever they are, right?
Yeah. So Haley died in Arizona. We were there for 11 years. And then 3 years ago, we moved to Florida. It was the end of a big life chapter. I was really, really out of balance because the service was just so successful, but I almost left my, you know, I almost left everything I had there. I was really overworked and couldn't, you know, sleep deprived. So we ended up moving to Florida. We were craving the ocean and the grass, and I wanted to rescue a horse. I felt deeply that was part of my life journey. Also, I healed a lot with the horse that we rescued, and I can tell you the story. But bottom line is that right now I do feel like I have achieved balance in my life. Finally, I do some home visits still, but I don't advertise because word of mouth goes so fast. And I do work at the hospital part-time, so I enjoy that. I like to help on all levels. So I'll do some emergency work during the weekends too, and I work at the general practice to help with all kinds. And I just infuse the intuitive medicine everywhere I go, and I still do some home visits because I enjoy helping. You know, it's so comforting to be at home.
Well, that's the sign of a true servant leader, right? I just enjoy helping, and you help in all of the different ways, you know, in the hospital and routine day-to-day things and helping people in their homes and helping the animals. What kind of response do you get from the owners, from the humans, when they start becoming aware that you're using your intuition? Or do you tell them, or do they know you're doing that?
So I bring it in gently in a subtle way, and then they look at me and say, "Someone gets me." And then they start telling me their stories of how, yes, I had that dream. You know, they don't want to tell anybody because we live in such a judgmental society. But when I open that door, then they start telling me how their dreams are guiding them, and they have the worst feeling about pursuing surgery, let's say. So when I tell them, please tell me what you feel, because there is no right or wrong answer about medicine. It's all about making the right choices for the patient. So I'm a big advocate of treat the patient, not the disease. And we have to use all the signs that we are receiving to make the best decision, and ultimately listening to the patient and what can we do best. Is it surgery the best option? You know, is it euthanasia? And it really varies. So we have to assess each animal individually. So it's wonderful. People love it because it makes sense to them. It just makes sense.
It does make sense, you know, because when you're connected to your animal, you're connected to your animal. And you're right about the judgment, I think, too. People might think, oh, I'm crazy, or they might judge me, even though I think most people who are really connected to their animals have that sense, that feeling, and that sense. And so when you open that door, it gives them such permission to authentically be heard in a way they probably never have been heard. And so it must really help them with feeling okay with whatever decision they make. Like by the time they arrive at the decision of however the problem is going to get fixed, then there's probably a lot less second guessing and self-doubt and did I do the right thing and all of those things, because you're helping guide them from their heart instead of just their head.
Absolutely. It brings them a lot of peace, and it empowers them to listen even more attentively to what the answers are. And then it's the flow has been just unleashed, you know, then now they become so much more in tune, and the rest of the family too. And, you know, I always ask, like, who's the closest, who is the owner of this animal? And sometimes it's the 5-year-old, and sometimes it's the 12-year-old, and sometimes it's the husband or the wife. There's always one person that the animal has really chosen to help. You know, they bond with typically one person that they're going to work on a little harder, or that's kind of the reason they met. And how did your pet come into your life in the first place? My God, they just appear out of nowhere. Like, I'm always fascinated when most people, when I ask them, how did you choose your pet? They'll say, oh no, my pet chose me. And that's the beauty of this journey on Earth, because animals find us, and together we grow through a lot of difficult situations. But it's easier, you know, it's easier to have a buddy, a four-legged buddy, or, you know, any kind of animal. Animals often share the same physical diseases. That's how bonded we are, and that's how much we share the same stress in life. And you know, when I diagnose heart disease, then the owner will say, oh, I have heart disease too, or back problems. Oh yeah, I have back problems. So animals become sponges of our emotions also. So that's one way we can help them be healthy, by being careful what we're going through ourselves, because often that will become the same energy that we're sharing. So animals, it takes a toll on them. You know, I see animals aging so much faster because they've gone through so much more with their person who's overcome disease or divorce or really stressful situations. And the animals is turning gray prematurely or reaches the end of their life, you know, at 10, let's say, for a cat, and when other cats can live to be 20. So there is no coincidence. I really see that their lifestyle and the relationship that they have with their human will impact their life, their longevity.
Wow. I never thought of that. The only closest I've thought of that was how sometimes, and it makes sense from what you're saying too, is like sometimes the people's dogs start looking like them, you know, or they get the same, uh-huh. you know, like all those pictures, yeah. but yeah. they are sponges. And I was just thinking, like, how did my dog get to me? Well, she was given to me by, people were that I helped them. I helped the husband and the wife, and she was a thank you present. But the interesting thing was, they had a whole litter of labradoodles, and they said that they had two black ones, a bunch of brown ones, and a gray and a white one. And I wanted a black one because I wanted a black dog, because I was remembering my cocker spaniel. And I'm like, I want a black dog. And my friend, who was very intuitive, says, no, you're going to get the white dog. I said, I don't want a white dog. I'm not getting a white dog. I want the black one. But then I went there, and I decided on the way I was just going to play with them all and see who I was connected to, because I'd never owned a dog from a puppy that young. I've always rescued older, you know, dogs that were like 5, 6, 7 years old. So I never really had that experience, right? Sure enough, it was the white dog. And she was the runt of the litter and the most sensitive, but also they said the smartest. And we're like glued at the hip. And so, and you're thinking, how did she did pick me, you know, energetically. And I couldn't have explained it, but I felt it. You know, and so when you're telling that story, I'm like, that's how that worked. Oh my gosh. And she'll do that. If I was talking to a friend on the phone the other night, and I had her on speakerphone, and she kind of got upset. She was telling me a story that kind of made her a little upset. And my dog came running over with a toy and kept trying to give her the toy to help her feel better. Oh my gosh.
That's so wonderful. And congratulations. You know, it's great that you were open enough and intuitive enough to say, okay, I'm going with the flow here. You know, the white one's coming to me, and that's just how it's going to be. Because, you know, it's unfortunate when people are so set in their ways that they are missing out on really the blessings. And, oh, look at how it's all unfolding. Follow that flow, you know, and jump on that opportunity, because that's really your path that's taking you there. And there's going to be blessings, way greater blessings. You know, the best things that have happened to me were completely unplanned. You know, you have an idea of where you're going, but you need to still go with the flow, because wow, it's amazing. And now there is a pig living with us, and that was not planned. But I have a little vegan activist on my hands, and you know, I'm vegan, and he's perfect. He walks on the leash. We go to the beach. And that's when I realized that, you know, of course I didn't think this through, and mobs of people would just gather, and oh my God, he's a pig. And he sits for treats too. So Wilbur puts on a show, and then people say, oh my God, I cannot eat bacon ever again. I cannot eat ham. And you know, that really warms up my heart, because I realize, well, Wilbur, you're doing your own teaching, you know, you're helping people bond with the animals that they eat and be more conscious about what it means, you know. And we can live without eating animals, or if you're going to eat animals, well, there is ways that they can have a good life and then a good death. But being more aware of factory farming and the stress that the animals go through before they become food. So that's really good that he's able to touch these people in a way that I couldn't. So I enjoy watching him.
Oh, that's great. So you have a pig and you take the pig on walks with a harness and a leash and everything.
Yeah, he loads up in the car. He's got his ramp because he's 100 pounds. You know, I can't lift them, but he's got his ramp and he loads up and he loves it. And how did he get to us? How did he come? He just knocked at the gate. Like, I was outside playing with the animals and this distraught pig just is there at the gate with the spider web on his face. And I'm like, where do you come from? You know, what happened? So I let him in thinking, well, I'll find his owner. And of course I found me. He found us. We're good. He's like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
He knew right where his owner was. You just had took you a little while to figure it out. You know, the humans, yeah, sometimes we're a little slow on that uptake, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you mentioned something kind of quickly in the beginning of this story that I kind of want to go back to and have you talk a little bit more about it. And you made a comment that the animals are here to teach us things. And I'd like to know if you have any neat stories about that, but also how you came to that understanding, because a lot of people don't see animals that way. I do, but not too many people do. And that awareness, I think, is really valuable to have. So tell us a little bit about that.
So when I look at animals, they've always answered my questions the best. You know, I was a child with a million of why questions, and my poor mom, you know, she did the best she could to answer them. But I've always wanted to make the world make sense to me. And so even today, you know, I'm looking at society, and when I question myself, oh, how can we make this work? How would the world be better? When I watch animals, they always have the best answer. My best advice to people is be more like your animal. You know, when you're questioning yourself, most people today don't even have time to question themselves. They're just running, you know, racing the rat race, and it's very unfortunate. So what can we learn from animals? To slow down, to take time to stretch, to take time to just be outside and enjoying the sun and the, you know, the trees and the birds and just slowing down. I mean, we're so out of balance, and animals are trying really hard to bring us back to the essence of life, looking at the bright side of life. You know, when you talk to adults, most people are so depressed, and we come from a place of lack. You know, I don't have this, I wish I had that. You know, when you look at animals, it's all about gratitude. It's raining outside, let's just go play in the rain. It's simple. Life is so simple for animals, and children are that way. You know, we were all born with intuition and simplicity and just having our heart wide open and looking at the world like, wow, this is a great place, let's just have fun. But then society kind of takes that away from us, and it's unfortunate. So I would, you know, let's all reconnect with what animals are teaching us. And they're teaching us patience and unconditional love and support, so we can be so much more tolerant of one another. Because we're all here to grow. And if we just help each other grow instead of judging, like, oh, that's what you think, or you're so close-minded, or no, let's be patient and discuss. You know, let's talk about our different life experiences and how we can bring them all together so the world makes sense. And being aware that your reality, like what makes sense to you, might not be what I need. So we have different needs, and that's okay too. It's beautiful when you look at it from that angle.
It is beautiful, and it makes so much more sense in the big and the small picture of it. You know, I'm listening to you going, of course, it makes sense, right?
It's easy. Yeah, it's really easy. We complicate things too much, but really life is simple.
It is simple, and I think, you know, when you were talking about stretching, you know, like watching my dog, and she, when she gets up in the morning, she lays there and she snuggles and she stretches, and she doesn't like jump up and run. You know, she takes her time. And it's funny because I've been doing that more myself too, but not consciously paying attention to her. So now I'm going to be paying attention to her differently. And she's laying on the floor over here watching and listening because she knows I'm talking about her. And so her little tail starts going, you know, and I just think it's amazing. Do you have any cool stories about any messages or information or help that an animal has given you, or maybe somebody that you've helped that that you think might be fascinating?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story that's going to be in the second book, because I started writing because I feel like I have more to share. And so when we left Arizona, it was really, really tough for me, because obviously I had to close a really big life chapter. But I also was cherishing a dream of when I was a little girl of having a horse. And I had really bad horse allergies. Going through vet school was rough, you know, because in the barn, my eyes would just tear, my nose would get all clogged up. And so before moving to Florida, my mom is very intuitive and she's a naturopath. So we always talk from our hearts and try to help each other with what's going on and, you know, why did you get sick and why did this happen? So we're talking about the horse allergies, and I see a movie play in my head of I was a Native American and the white men were capturing our wild horses, and it traumatized me and I burst into tears. So I'm talking to my mom, I'm watching the movie, and I just burst into tears, like I'm reliving this. And I really still feel like I relate a lot to Native American culture. I really feel deep down that I've lived it. I was there. And so, and I had an emotional shock, and just realizing it, where it came from, like it unlocked something in my body and it healed my horse allergies. So we moved to Florida. I still feel like I need to have a horse because it's, you know, I just need to have the experience. I feel really strongly like there's a horse out there for me. So we get to Florida. I meet my next door neighbor, and she says, like, right off the bat, like, are you ready for your horse? Because I know who he is. And I'm like, what? Like, you don't know me? Like, okay, yes, I'm ready. I mean, this is why I'm in Florida for. Let's do this. So, and this horse really needed a second chance at life. He was a retired show horse. And he moved in, you know, within a few weeks. And him and I just had the best 2 years. I never had allergies. You know, I was completely fine. I mean, him and I, we kept just healing together. And he was allowed to go back to just living the life that horses are meant to live, which is eat all day long, just graze. We had this beautiful pond that he would just swim in every day. And just cool off, and there was no pressure, no stress. We learned just to be, you know, to enjoy life together and just be. And you know, he was an old guy, so unfortunately the day came where actually I had a dream. You know, he started to have issues with his feet. He had arthritis. We had him on pain medication. But I had this dream that night where him and I were flying in heaven. He had turned completely white. He was glowing with wings. He had turned into an angel. And I was hanging on to his neck, and we were just flying freely, and we were in heaven. And, you know, he was happy. He was young. Everything was good. We were home. So when I woke up the next morning and I found him at the barn, and he was just in so much pain, and I knew it was time to help him pass, and I had to euthanize him. And that dream really brought me the peace that I needed to say, okay, we're done trying different medications here. Like that was his way of telling me, I'm ready to go home and please help me. And I mean, you know, I could cry forever. This horse was just magnificent. I had described him like he was the horse of my dream. I had described like physically how he was, and that's how he was when I found him. So our souls met again. You know, I think we might have met in a past life, but all the healing that happened in those 2 years is just amazing.
Wow. Like every, you know, I tell my clients all the time, you know, Einstein said everything's connected to everything, right?
Yeah.
And when I listen to your stories, I have this goosebumps all over, and I'm like, oh my, it's so real and magical and true and has all of that like power in it. And all I can say is I'm really glad that you're intuitive as you are, and that you paid attention to the dream, and you've been paying attention all along to be able to really have that experience. And you received a lot of healing from the horse, but the horse got a lot of healing from you as well. I think what I heard was a really beautiful exchange and connection that allowed both of you to rise up, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I know it's scary for most people to be vulnerable and to dare, like jumping off the cliff. Sometimes, you know, life pushes you out of your comfort zone, and you just have to go for it and hope that your imaginary wings will appear to take you to the next life challenge and the next life chapter. But we've been through so many life chapters, it seems that I've realized, like, the faster you let go, the better it is. You know, the less pain you're going to suffer less, because if you're resisting anything in life, the lessons, you know, will get harder and more painful. You know, why do some people get into car accidents? Or, like, we can prevent a lot of our traumas if we listen to the little signs of guidance. Like, for example, if you just, somebody's offering you to go on a trip and you just deep down, like, you don't want to go, you have the biggest pit in your stomach, you know it's not your place, but you're just being a nice person and you don't want to disappoint, and you say, okay, fine, I'll do this, but it's completely against my nature, you know, like, but you're dismissing all this, you just want to not think about it, and then you get hurt, and you know, pain is a great teacher also. But I'm trying to not go through so much pain and learn before it gets to a point where, okay, now you have no choice, but you're in trouble yourself. So we can avoid a lot of those things.
Oh, that is so true. Every time I've ignored that voice, it never turned out well. It wasn't always really, really bad. It wasn't always traumatic, but I always looked back and went, oh, you should have listened. And now I try to listen better. And you're convincing me more to even pay better attention. You know, yeah. Talking to you, I'm like, oh, okay, I better really watch it. You live with your husband, right?
Yeah.
And so what does he think about all this? Is he intuitive? What does he think about all this?
Yeah, no, he's got the biggest heart. He loves animals. So the way our relationship started, we were in New York City, New York area at the time where we met. So that's where he's from. And he brings me a baby raccoon that he found in New York City that he found on the sidewalk, was covered with oil. And so he's like, here, you know, this is your present. So we take it to the wildlife refuge. Oh, he takes it. So my husband goes on his own, and I'm like, well, they'll take care of him. So my husband comes back with two baby raccoons and all the motivation to build a cage, because the wildlife refuge convinced them that, you know, they needed help and we would be the right people to raise the baby raccoons. So he's the most motivated, you know, he loves animals. So he's been building all the cages of all the animals that have found us over the years. He's a singer, he's a songwriter. So he's an old soul. I think we've met before. I did a past life regression and I talk about it in my book. And I really feel like we were together in a medieval lifetime, and he got killed riding a horse. It was so vivid. I mean, everything was so vivid, and it makes so much sense, because in this life, I'm so grateful. Like, you know, a lot of people, and I was guilty of it myself, taking like an ex-boyfriend for granted really easily. But with my husband, I'm always afraid of like losing him, or the gratitude of our relationship that could end at any moment is always there. And I think that's because I lost him in a previous life, and he loves horses. He's always loved horses. He's good with them. And so we connect on so many levels, and it's really weird how we met also. And I talk about it in my book, because that was really one of the first times that I listened to my gut feeling all the way. And when I wanted to dismiss my gut feeling, but my God, like, he was at the end of this. So thank God I listened to to my gut feeling. But a dream of mine. So when just a few months before I met him, I've always wanted to take dance lesson. That was like a dream of little girl that I don't know why, you know, but I just love how, you know, watching people dance and the beautiful dresses. So I was finally, my first job, I was making money, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to fulfill this dream. And I've given up on finding a boyfriend. Like, the more you look, the less you find. And people I find are just, you know, disappointing. So I go take dance lessons by myself. And he's there as the teacher. And what is he doing there? Because he's a rock musician. Like, it's not his place. But somehow a little opportunity happened for him to, you know, be there and learn a few things. And he was a DJ also at the time. And so he was doing a lot of weddings. So he would teach the groom and the bride to dance. So anyway, he was there for a few months. And I show up there like, okay, let's, you know, and it's just like love at first sight. And Haley was there with him. And then we just moved on with our journey. Like, we picked each other up, and then, okay, you know, next life chapter, let's do it. So we've gone through so much. 18 years, we are different people today. we have grown into more into who we are truly. So it's fun because sometimes he gets the gut feeling, like he wanted to move. I thought we were set in Arizona, but I'm grateful that he felt like, no, we needed more. And then it helped me disconnect. Also, I had to close that chapter that was about to kill me. So yes, he saved my life. You know, I feel like he's helped me just regain my balance. And so vice versa, you know, sometimes I'm the one to say, okay, you know, we need to do this, or looking at each other and really finding where our place is. So he's always wanted to fly airplanes. And so now he's a pilot now, and he belongs in the sky, and eagles are really powerful. Eagles are a powerful animal to him. And so he's a really, really good pilot. And I wanted to make sure that he fulfills that dream, because it feeds your soul, you know, and we all have to really go for our dreams and feed our souls. That's the key to life, I think.
Oh, absolutely. That all I'm thinking is, thank God you followed that intuition, your gut feeling back then.
Oh, I know. I almost didn't. I felt so awkward to go take dance lessons by myself. And I had a free week at the gym. You know, I was kind of set at the gym. I had my little routine, but I hate the gym. I'm not a gym person at all. So thank God I felt like, okay, I'm going to look like an idiot. I'll go take dancing lessons by myself. And nobody knows me in this town anyway. What the hell, you know? And then I show up there. Like, wow, okay, always listening to our intuition, always.
Always listening to your intuition. That's a huge lesson, you know? Like, most of the challenges people go through is because they're just not listening. The answer's there. Listen and then follow it. Do it. You know, like, it's one thing to hear it and then not do it. But, like, I'm taking dance lessons by myself. I don't want to take dance lessons by myself, but I guess I am, you know? But you followed it. You know, you honored it. And you followed it, even though a part of you was like, what? And now it all makes sense.
The brain is just like, your brain is just completely destroying what your heart wants. And it's that battle between the heart and the brain. And yeah, the heart needs to win always.
Yes, exactly. That is a beautiful story. Oh my gosh. I just think that's just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, you mentioned you have a second book coming out. Tell us a little bit about the second book.
You know, life is short. I've got all these ideas in my head that society might or might not be ready for it, but I need to write it down. And at some point society might become what I think it can become. And it's, again, based on the animal model. We are animals ourselves, and we are denying that part of us. And so when you think about, you know, the rapes and prostitutions, and, you know, humans have hormones too. And there is a lot of outlets. Like, we need to talk about the taboo topics. We need to talk about euthanasia for people, which I talk about in my first book, but in the second book, I want to take it to the next level of, what do we do with prisoners? You know, prisons need to be called rehabilitation places, and we need to help re-empower them. They're not all bad people, and we need to be able to help them really live the life that they can live. And you reach also a point where some people won't be rehabilitated, and how many resources does society have to help those people? And I believe in euthanasia for emotional illness or mental illnesses. You know, society has ruined a lot of people and animals. And when I have to euthanize aggressive animals, you know, it really makes me sad, because I know that deep down, that animal, we failed that animal one way or another. Society has failed that animal. So when I look at people, it's the same thing. You know, I'm all about giving people a second chance. And I feel like society is not even doing that. We're putting people in jail and shaming them for being humans, you know, somebody who raped somebody else. And of course, that's not the way to live in society. But people, you know, guys, like, there needs to be outlets of, you know, I mean, sex is a normal animal behavior. So we need to talk about it and discuss ways that can be done in a healthy way in society. And again, helping those prisoners reconnect with their own nature. So hopefully they can come back into society. But if not, you know, I know that a lot of them are miserable, and my heart goes out to them, because we have given up on them, and I don't want to. And if the answer is if the damage has been done and there is no chance to bring them back, well, just like the aggressive animals who can't live in society, there is a way to help them, to make them feel loved in going back, you know, leaving this earth and trying again in the next reincarnation.
Wow, that is a very powerful subject. And you're right, you know, the world may or may not be ready for it. But I think what's most important is you're following your heart and your gut and your intuition, and you're bringing to the table conversations and topics that people need to start paying attention to if they're not already, you know, and that is a huge undertaking. And congratulations on that. I'm glad you're following your heart, because I really believe that it's important for all of us to do that. You know, when you're called to do it, nobody else is called to do it other than you. You know, that's my view. It's like, whatever our heart's calling is, it's on us, you know?
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's scary. I mean, I'm telling you this and I'm like, oh God, I'm crazy. Like, I'm crazy. But it's been haunting me too, you know? So I know at least I have to put it on paper. And again, I'm not expecting much out of society. I've already, you know, we might be doomed. But, you know, we're on the Titanic and we're sinking. Well, let's give it all we got. And so that's, animals, again, animals have never failed me. So I know that there is a way to really discuss everything we need to talk about, and animals will bring us answers that we don't have right now.
Right. And you know, you just said it, and I'm going to say it again for everybody. Animals have never fail us. And all the animals never fail us. You know, like, I live in Florida, you live in Florida now. And one of the first things, back before there was radar and all of that, my mother studied the weather all the time. And she told me, ever since I was a very small child, she taught my brother and I what an ibis is. And of course, it's the mascot for the University of Miami Hurricanes. But an ibis is a bird that is the last bird to leave the area before a hurricane. And so when a hurricane's coming, you don't have to worry about it until the ibis are gone. When the moment the ibis are gone, it's imminent. You're getting hit. And back then there was no radar or whatever. So we watched the ibis and, you know, it was one way or the other. The animals never failed us. Like, the whole system of all the birds that could possibly be in Florida, of all of them, there's only one that was the last one to leave before the hurricane hit. And so the animals never did fail us when we paid attention to them.
That's amazing. That's,
yeah, beautiful. It is, isn't it? And it's just fascinating that when we pay attention, the answers are always there. That's happened so many times. I remember one time I had a house or a tree in my yard that looked like it was dead. We had a frost, and so I cut it back and it looked like it was dead, and I almost had it taken out. And I'm like, oh, I guess I should have the stump taken out. And I was just kind of stalling on it for whatever reason. And I come home one day thinking, okay, when I get home, I'm going to call them and have them, you know, take the root out and get rid of the stump and put another pretty tree there. This was right up by the street. And I came home, and as I pulled in the driveway, I caught a glance of the perfectly round woodpecker hole, which means they made their nest in there. So of course that stump didn't come down till after that whole season. And I knew that they weren't coming back. You know, and all my friends were, how come you're not getting rid of it? I said, look, the woodpeckers are living in there. I can't get rid of their home. It's staying, you know. And I happened to notice it in that moment.
And that's amazing, because it's good karma. You know, it's law of attraction. Like, you're doing good, good will come to you. I mean, I see that all the time. And so paying attention to what's coming to you, because it shows you what you're putting out there. And learning from all of those things, instead of feeling victimized, like, oh, poor me, this happened. No, you have the power. Just pay attention. And one thing that was really cool, one time I had a meeting with three people, like a business meeting. They wanted to offer me a partnership, and I didn't know. I wasn't sure about the whole thing. So I get home. That was in Arizona. So I come home, and who's waiting at the door for me? It was one scorpion, one black widow, and one venomous Colorado river toad. All three of them looking at me, and I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm not going to pursue any kind of association with these people, because you guys are there telling me that I need to pay attention.
And there's no coincidence in that either.
No, I mean, we're all related. We're all connected, and nature is just the best teacher, like the best mirror of what's going on in your life. And how many times people who have lost a loved one, you know, see like a bird that their loved one loved. And when they have to make a tough decision in life, this bird just shows up. Or after my grandpa died, my mom started seeing owls everywhere. On paper, she got socks that had owls. Like, she goes to the store, there's owls on socks, so she buys them. And it just, like, the owl was like my grandpa's totem animal. Like, he died, and then it's just like everywhere she looks, it's comforting to her. So, and then somebody else who lost a loved one who loved to play golf and start finding golf balls in random places. It's really powerful.
That's amazing. So y'all, make sure that you take care of your animals and listen to them, right? Listen to what Dr. Joanne is saying. And that is, as you're connected to your animal, let yourself be more connected and paying even more attention to what is going on in the animal world around you. Because you said it a little earlier that, you know, they're going to show us the way. The humans obviously are making some really bad choices. So we should probably listen to the animals because they've got this. They know how to do it. So what is a really cool message? Like if we had like a billboard and you could put any message you wanted where in theory everybody would see it, of something that an animal has taught you that you would want the whole world to know, what would be on that billboard, you think?
Keep it simple. Just be happy. That's it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Keep it simple and be happy, right?
Yeah.
And don't forget the treats. Oh, that's beautiful. So tell everybody how they can connect with you. I'm sure there's people, you know, we have audiences in, I think it's 30 or 40 countries now for this podcast. And so where can people connect with you, on Facebook or where, if they wanted to find out some more information about your work?
I'm on Facebook a lot. The best way to reach out to me would be through my website, and then all the icons are there for all the social media platforms, and my email is there. And so my website is www.haleysangels.com, and it's HayleysAngels. Haley was a rescue. She came with her name, with the Haley spelling, so we kept it in her honor.
Oh, that's beautiful. So HaleysAngels.com is your website, and I'll make sure that that link is in the show notes so you can just click on that link and find all of the amazing things that Dr. Joanne is up to, and connect with her and let her know you heard her on this podcast, and I'm sure she would love to hear from you. And before we end the show, is there anything on your heart that you would like to say that I didn't ask you about, or something that's coming to you now that you would really like to say to everybody before we end the show?
I would tell everyone to just go hug your neighbor. You know, be the first person to share love in this world and spread the joy. Smile first. Don't wait for other people to lift your spirit. People need you to live their spirit. So be that person. And feed your soul. Like, how do I stay so happy? Or I feed my soul from nature and from my animals that fill me with that joy. And then I have enough to give to others.
Oh, that's beautiful. So we fill our soul with nature and our animals, and then we give from the overflow. Thank you so much, Dr. Joanne, for being on the show today and having such a great conversation with me. And it's funny that during the course of the show, my beautiful Labradoodle went from out in the hall to right next to me. Like, she kept moving closer, and now she's like right here. How adorable is that, right?
She's agreeing with everything we said.
Yeah, she is. She's supporting us. So remember, everybody, to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, and you are a rock star with a vision. So take your vision, get it out here in the world, and let your voice be heard, just like Dr. Joanne has shown us that her vision is coming into reality. And the world is changing for the better, and yours will do that too. So until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.